It shall now be our privilege to hear from a man much loved for his service in the church, well known for his knowledge and testimony of the gospel, president of the Quorum of the Twelve, Elder Joseph Fielding Smith.
My dear brethren and sisters, most of you students here at the great Brigham Young University, and you have come here for the purpose of receiving an education founded in truth and righteousness. Now, I was informed that the meeting tonight had a topic, a subject, which was honor and integrity. These are two of the grand principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without honor, we lose everything. Without integrity, we cannot advance. And when I heard that this was the theme, my mind went immediately to the Lord's instruction to Abraham. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed of him? For I know him, that he will command his children and the household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." It would be a wonderful thing, would it not, if the Lord had that sort of confidence in each of us. I hope he has. You come here to this institution not only to be trained and receive knowledge and understanding in the things that pertain largely to the world, but you come also for the greater purpose, but to be trained in the things of the kingdom of God, to learn of his ways and to walk in his paths, and to seek for the great blessings of light and truth which the Lord has promised to all those who are obedient to his commandments. Now, I might spend my time here talking about great characters, world-renowned because of their integrity, their loyalty, and their faith. But I'm not inclined to do that. I would prefer to talk to you as individuals seeking salvation in the kingdom of God. The Lord has given counsel to us in the Revelations, in the Doctrine and Covenants, in the Book of Mormon, in the Pearl of Great Price, all beyond that which is in possession of the world. The Lord has pointed out to us definitely the course that we should take in order to reach the goal of exaltation. I have many times asked a congregation at a stake conference each to ask himself, those who are in the congregation, why are you a member of the church? What's your purpose? Is it because of association, friendship? Is it because your parents were members? And you've been taught by them and you're a member to please them? Or is it because right down in your heart you want to receive the great reward which the Lord has offered to us of exaltation, which means godhood? In the kingdom of God. I feel certain that there are some people in the church who are in it for ulterior purposes, judging them by their actions. But we as members who have faith are in the church just for one purpose only, or at least, I won't make it quite that, for the great purpose of becoming sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to receive the fullness of the Father's kingdom. Heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to eventually have the privilege of building worlds ourselves and peopling them. Well, now that's what the gospel teaches us. And it requires loyalty. It requires faith. It requires obedience to every principle of divine truth. And if we are not seeking for that goal, then we don't understand the purpose for our membership in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Naturally, we honor those who show their faith and their integrity, and who have been loyal and true to every commandment the Lord has given to them. President George Q. Cannon wrote a little book based upon the life of Nephi. Why did he write it? We can read the story of Nephi in the Book of Mormon. But why did he write such a book? To impress upon the members of the church how they could become loyal and faithful and true by understanding and following the life of this great man who came with his father out of Jerusalem and helped to establish in this country the kingdom of God. Now, Nephi had a wonderful brother, too. He had maybe other brothers who were faithful and true. We don't know much about them, but he had two other brothers who were true and faithful, and one of them has given us some wonderful counsel. I want to read you a little of the words of Jacob, the brother of Nephi. Oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that His paths are righteous. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before Him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel. And He employeth no servant there. And there is none other way save it be by the gate, for He cannot be received. For the Lord God is His name. And whoso knocketh, to him will He open. And the wise and the learned and they that are rich, which are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they whom He despiseth. And save they shall cast these things away, and consider themselves fools before God, and come down in the depths of humility, He will not open unto them. But the things of the wise and the prudent shall He be hid for them forever. Yea, that happiness which is prepared for the saints. O my beloved brethren, remember my words. Behold, I take off my garments and I shake them before you. I pray that God of my salvation, that He view me with His all-searching eye, wherefore He shall know at the last day, when all men shall be judged of their works, that the God of Israel did witness that I shook your iniquities from my soul, and that I stand with brightness before Him and am rid of your blood. Now, it was strange, isn't it, that in that early day after Lehi's family came to America, that Jacob had to get after the family, for it was still just a family, and make them realize the purpose of their existence in this country. Now we all love those who are honest, who have integrity, whose word we can rely upon. We love those who are loyal and faithful to the church. Who would sacrifice not only their lives and all that they have, but would do that willingly, if need be, for the gospel and the kingdom of God. No man can love a man who is untrue, unfaithful to his covenants, whose word cannot be relied upon. And if we want salvation in the kingdom of God, then we have got to have that loyalty to every principle of eternal truth, which the Lord requires at our hands. A man without honor is despised. A man who has honor, whose word is truth, and who can be relied upon, is loved. A man whose integrity to the truth we love. And as we read in these scriptures in the Old Testament, in the New, in the Book of Mormon or elsewhere, of brethren who spent their lives building up the kingdom of God, showing their faith and their integrity, we learn to love them, don't we? Now, you couldn't love a man whose word was unreliable, or a woman. And they have no place in the kingdom of God. The Lord has required loyalty of the members of the church. Alma has given us some wonderful counsel, as it's recorded in the 42nd chapter of the book that bears his name. But there is a law given and a punishment affixed, and a repentance granted, which repentance mercy claimeth, otherwise justice claimeth a creature, and executeth the law. And the law inflicteth the punishment. If not so, the works of justice would be destroyed, and God would cease to be God. But God seeth not to be God, and mercy claimeth the penitent, and mercy cometh because of the atonement, and the atonement bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection of the dead bringeth to pass back men into the presence of God, and thus they are restored in his presence to be judged according to their works, according to the law and justice. For behold, justice executeth all her demands, And also mercy claimeth all which is her own. And thus none but the truly repentant are saved. What? Do you suppose that mercy can rob justice? I say unto you, nay, not one whit. If so, God would cease to be God. And thus God bringeth about his great and eternal purposes, which were prepared from the foundation of the world. And thus cometh about the salvation and the redemption of men, and also their destruction and misery. Therefore, O my son, whosoever will come may come and partake of the waters of life freely, and whosoever will not come, the same is not compelled to come. But in the last days it shall be restored unto him according to his deeds. If he has desired to do evil and hath not repented in his days, behold, evil shall be done unto him according to the restoration of God. Now, the Lord requires of us integrity. He expects us to be honest and honorable. Integrity to what? To every commandment and to every covenant and to every blessing. When you have spare time, I'd like you to turn to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and read it. That was written when Israel was just ready to enter into the promised land and receive their inheritances. And the Lord laid before them the blessings that would come to them through their integrity and their honor and their faithfulness in keeping his commandments. And he promised them some very wonderful blessings. They were to stand at the head. Others were to bow down to them. They would have the guidance of his Holy Spirit and would prosper. But the Lord also pointed out to them what would happen if they turned away and departed from the paths of truth and lost their honor and their integrity to the principles and the covenants which they entered into. The history of Israel, as it is recorded in the Old Testament, bears out the truth of every word that Moses declared unto them. When the promises of the Lord to them were fulfilled, when they kept his commandments, they were blessed. When they turned away and forgot his commandments, they suffered. And eventually, because of their wickedness, they were driven out of the land of their inheritance and scattered over all the face of the earth. Now the Lord has made some wonderful promises to modern Israel. These promises are recorded in the Doctrine and Covenants, in a number of the revelations. The Lord has made it possible for us, through our faithfulness and our obedience and loyalty to his word and to his covenants, that we, like he promised Israel, should stand at the head. We would have his blessings, and he would protect us and watch over us in the days when the rest of the world was suffering for their sins. He's made the same promises to us that he made to Israel. And the Lord has also pointed out to us what will happen to us if we fail. If we lose our integrity and our faith and our obedience to his commandments, then the Lord has said that we shall meet with the same conditions and difficulties and troubles which were poured out upon ancient Israel. Read these revelations. Make yourself familiar with them. Well, I won't have time to turn and read to you the promises, wonderful promises the Lord has made to the Latter-day Saints. And they're all based upon our faithfulness, our integrity, our obedience to the commandments that he has given. Now, my good brethren and sisters, search these revelations. Make yourself familiar with what the Lord has said to us in our own day and the warnings that he's given to us. And let us stand for that which is right, for that which is true, and not lose our faith and become praise to the destructions and the plagues that the Lord said that he would pour out upon us if we fail in our integrity and our faith to him. Search these scriptures. Make yourselves familiar with them. For the Lord says, the commandments that he gave to the church are faithful and true, and they will be fulfilled. The Lord bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.